Good morning. It's good to be with you again on this last Sunday in this particular building. And these are exciting days as we walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you again for your giving to the Crown of Blessing. It is continuing to make a difference in people's lives, both naturally and spiritually. We want to welcome again, our friends from Lancashire that we've known over the years. And we're so glad you could share with us today. And last week we were blessed to have Noel Hilton watching, who hadn't been with us for some time. But I'd like to begin our message today with a word of prayer. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you are ever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Israelites in all of their journeys is our God today. The God who has done miracles and intervened in men and women's lives because he loves them so much is our God today. And we thank you for being our Father and loving us so much and drawing us close to you in these days. We thank you that though the world is rocking and rolling and reeling with madness, uncertainty, and confusion, Lord, we have clarity and direction and power. We just bless you and praise you and honor you today for your goodness. Thank you for being our helper as we hear the word of the Lord today. And may our hearts be filled with the presence of the Lord, that we might hear the still small voice that shakes circumstances and creates blessing, transformation, healing, provision, and change. Thank you, Lord, today for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to continue in our series from faith to faith in the last days and the harvest of miracles. I want to remind you that God has planned a harvest of miracles for you because, as we shared with you last week, God has made you in Christ to be a faith person. You're not a doubt person, an unbelief person. Those are things that happen to you, decisions, choices that perhaps we can make, but it's not our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ is that we are a faith person. And that's one of the hallmarks of being a believer. It's not just a title, it's actually a description of your identity. Just like a person who fixes your plumbing is called a plumber, but he's not really a plumber if he doesn't do any plumbing. And you and I are meant to be believers who actually believe. And so I can legitimately wear the title of being a believer if I am a believing believer, if I function in that identity. You don't want somebody coming to your house to fix your plumbing who wears the uniform but doesn't have a clue about which way water runs. Somebody said a plumber only has to know three things. Water runs downhill, paydays on Friday, and keep your fingers out of your mouth. But if that's all your plumber knows, you don't want him working on your gas fixture or your plumbing or whatever it is. You want somebody who, though they and has an identity, but they also have an ability. That's what the world's looking for. They're not looking for religion or churches filled with people. They're looking for believers that possess God in such a way that it intervenes in an astonishing, amazing fashion. And that's who God has made us to be. And that's who we will ever yet more reveal as time goes on. And so today, as we are broadcasting from this last time in this location, I want to remind you, as part of our faith identity, that we are people of faith. You know, Jericho looked as unpossessable as possible. but it became their possession. And we have our possessions. As Habakkuk says, we will possess our possessions. If they belong to you, then you should possess them. And so let's begin by looking at Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. And you may tire of this verse. I pray that you don't, because it's one that's simple, profound, and instructive, opposite to the way we naturally think, but so important in our function as a faith person. And so it starts off, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, it's a practice we must learn to adopt more and more and more. We often have things in our way, and we don't speak to them, we speak about them. You know, the traffic's bad, you know, the economy's bad, you know, my knees are bad, whatever it is, and you can talk about it. Here, the Bible says, speak to it. And so part of our identity is learning to speak like we were meant to speak. And when we don't speak that way, we can't expect anything but what we've already had or something worse. So if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart but believes that what he says will happen, you and I are not doubters, we are believers. And we not only believe God's word, but we believe the word that comes out of our mouth because it's the word that God put in our heart. The word that comes out of our mouth is the word that comes out of our heart. And when it comes out of our mouth, it goes to do the job it was meant to do. I've shared this story before, but it serves telling again. At the close of a service, I was at the door speaking to people, and as they said, I was just saying goodbye to them, looking in their eyes and just asking them how they were, because I want to know and I care about them. And I only have a few seconds with people at that point. But as they're passing through, one woman looked at me and I said, how are you? She said, Pastor, I'm not doing well. I said, well, what is it? And it's not time for me to get into any extensive counseling or discussion of anything. I just want to know something succinct that I can sink my teeth in, respond to it in the way that God wants me to respond. And she said, Pastor, she said, my adult son has not spoken to me in 7 years, and I do not know why. I could see the tears in her eyes and the pain in her face that this son of hers, she was estranged from. And I said, give me your hands. And she gave me her hands, and I took her hands, and I said, what is his name? And she said his name. And I took her hands, and I said his name, and I said, call your mother this week. I let go of her hands, and I said, there, I said, he'll call you this week. She said, oh, thank you, Pastor. And off she went. The following Sunday, she came again, and she caught me, and she was so excited. She said, Pastor, you won't believe what happened. I said, I will. She said, on Thursday, she said, the phone rang, and it was my son. And she said, the first words that came out of his mouth were, Mom, I am so sorry. You know, this isn't just a story and a message. This is an instruction that God wants us to learn to speak to things. You know, a lot of times we have kind of narrow bands in which we might apply the grace of God and the power of God and the promises of God. What is it? If you ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. We have what we asked of him when we ask according to his will. I want to tell you a great testimony. 31-year-old woman, I think she had 2 children, she and her husband were getting along fine, and then she noticed that she was getting weak, and it just didn't seem right that, you know, in this part of her life that she should experience this kind of weakness, and it continued. She had medical investigations, and finally, they came back and they said, we have some bad news. And your diagnosis is you have chronic systolic heart failure. And that's a condition where one chamber of the heart can't pump blood effectively. And so her heart was functioning at 15% capacity. Well, they redid their whole lifestyle to accommodate her lack of energy and this condition, and they did everything to try to manage. But things got worse. Finally, she's admitted back in the hospital, and her heart is now only functioning under 7% capacity. There's no longevity. There's no future for this woman based on her medical condition. But as she goes to the husband, to the hospital rather, her husband prays the prayer of faith. Well, they decide to schedule her for heart surgery. And they were going to give her a heart transplant. Husband goes to the hospital after the operation is over. And he says to his wife when she wakes up, how was my heart? Was it that bad? And the doctor comes in and he says, actually, he said, we opened you up. And he said, because of what I saw, I decided to do some more tests while you're there on the operating table. And I decided that I couldn't put a heart that was worse than the one you had, which was like brand new. She got a brand new heart transplant. And you know, sometimes spiritually, our hearts can be like 7% of capacity. I want to say to you today that just as God gave that woman a new physical heart and restored her life and her family, and now she's got the vigor of her youth to conduct her life and be the wife and the mother and the ministry and everything else that God has designed. Because God gave her a new heart, God wants to give you and I new hearts, a heart transplant, so that our hearts are just like they were on the day that we were born again, a heart of faith that believed in the salvation of God and a heart of faith that believes in the total salvation of God for every part of our life journey. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, last week, we were talking to you about some of the conditions of faith, and we saw that we must ask in faith. The Bible tells us that when we come to the Lord, we must hear faith. We must have the hearing of faith, but we must also ask in faith. And so we looked at asking in faith, and we spoke last week to you about the words of faith, speaking faith words about whatever happens in life, whatever God's word says. That's what we say about it. That's our confession. We don't make the world's confession. We make God's confession, what God says about it. And we also spoke to you about speaking two things, and how you speak to conditions that people have. When you get ready to heal them, you do it just like Jesus did. You speak to their arthritis, and you speak to their kidney failure. You speak to their sickle cell. Whatever it is, you speak to it, not about it. You don't beg and plead. You command it to go just as Jesus did. Because the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever is the one that's living inside of you, who's ready to do again through you and through your powerful faith words the very same things, because he's the very same Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee. And so we looked at that and how important that is to be a person who speaks faith about things and speaks faith to conditions. And how it's so vital to let your mouth roar like a lion, and to speak with boldness. You know, the disciples spoke with boldness. It's something that's not really characteristic of perhaps a number of people, because we don't want to come across like we're arrogant. If God wants you to speak boldly, it's not being arrogant. It doesn't matter what all these other people think or say about what you're speaking. I remember a great testimony of a woman who had a growth on her neck. And she went to the service one day, and some of the sisters gathered around her and were praying for her, and she was grateful for it. And when they were finished, she said, "Well, thank you, it's healed." And they're kind of looking at this big sort of grapefruit-sized thing that's on the side of her neck, and they just kind of muttered to themselves and walked away. Following Sunday, she went back again, she said, "I'd like to give a testimony." And so they gave her opportunity to give a testimony. She gave a testimony, and she said, "I just thank God that my neck is healed, and I just praise God for his faithfulness." And after the service, this same group of ladies kind of took her in hand and wanted to show her the way of the Lord more excellently and point out to her that it was obvious to everybody in that building that this growth on her neck was a clear indication that she was not healed. What they didn't realize that she was calling those things that were not as though they were. And so she thanked them for their kindness. Following Sunday, she went back again. She didn't say anything, but somebody got into a conversation with her, and she said, "Oh, you know, I'm just so grateful to the Lord for healing me." And so once again, they started in trying to kind of, you know, show her that she was really making herself out a fool and the subject of ridicule and so on and so forth for taking this kind of posture. And you think about it for a moment. Everybody's looking at the big growth she's got on her neck, and she's saying she's healed. What would be your response? But in her heart, and out of her mouth was coming the right things. She went home, and the following Sunday she was getting ready to come to the service, and she thought about facing the sincere, well-meaning detractors that she was going to be facing. And as she was preparing herself in front of the mirror to put her makeup on and get ready to go to the service, she uttered this prayer. She said, "Lord, I know you have healed me. Would you show them what I already know?" And the moment she uttered that prayer, this growth fell on the floor and the skin was perfectly healed where it was. What am I saying? There are things to be manifested in your life, in my life, that it can only come when we take the stance that God has designed us to take. When we function, when we act, when we speak as he has commanded us. When we learn the ways of heaven and the ways of the kingdom of God. We're all in this classroom of life where we're to learn and we're to apply what we know from God's word and from our relationship with him to every function that we face and every circumstance that we face. And I want to encourage you to learn new ways in these days. As the word of the Lord to us in December was that 2020 would be new days, new ways. Let it not just be, well, we had to kind of reconstruct our life because of COVID. We had to stay indoors more. We had to wear those terrible masks. We had to whatever, whatever. No, let the new ways be the ways of the Spirit, the ways of faith, the ways of loving Jesus, the ways of embracing him, the ways of worshiping him and inviting his presence and just kind of connecting with him. You might hear the word of the Lord. And then stepping out to to speak and to do. Because the next phase, our condition of faith, we want to examine for a moment here, is acting in faith. We must not only speak words of faith, but we have to act in faith. James chapter 2, and beginning with verse 17, says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Faith not accompanied by action is dead. So when conviction came upon you in salvation, and you realized you were a sinner, and you were deciding to that Jesus did live, and that he did die on the cross, and that he rose again the third day, and he did it for you, and that he would cleanse you of your sin, you had to take a step. You had to confess. You had to show something. Someone will say, "Well, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do." So every believer faces the challenge bigger than himself or herself. And so to act in faith, you have to first hear and then act as though you did hear. You know, I like Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says of Abram. Let me just quickly turn over there. I'm Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Normally I have all these things, but I failed to put this one. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says it very simply. "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance," he was called, God said, "There's your inheritance. It's over there." The Bible says he was called. You hear the voice of the Lord. What's it say next? He obeyed and went. You know, it's so important to act on the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, when God called Abram, the Bible says that he told him to leave where his father's house, leave your country, your people, and go to the land I will show you. He said, "Go and I will show." You know, a lot of times you can get stuck in this place of, "Well, I know what the will of God is. I've got a whole load of promises here. But I just don't really quite know what to do." And so you end up with what is called paralysis through analysis. Instead of some firm decision and some act of faith, you kind of remain in the land of stagnation, no man's land if you want to call it, because you haven't actually done anything. If you pray for rain, take your umbrella. Just that simple. You know, if you pray for rain and you think, "Well, maybe yes, maybe no," then you may not take your umbrella. But if you pray for rain, take your umbrella. That's an act of faith that matches what you prayed and what you believe. But so often, God, people get what I call this paralysis through analysis. "Yes, but I don't know about this, and I don't know about that, and this question hasn't been answered, and that, and I don't know, I'm just so ignorant of this, and this, and this, and this, and this." By the time you add up everything that you're ignorant of, you don't do a blessed thing. And you've canceled your reward, at least temporarily. At least temporarily. It's so important that you take steps of faith. I remember a number of years ago, a couple were struggling, and financially, and they weren't doing well, and they'd kind of bounced around and trying to find accommodation that would fit their terrible finances. They finally started getting their finances in order, but they were living in cramped quarters, and they came, and the wife was kind of complaining that they had just been like nomads, and that she just wanted a place to settle. And So I said to the husband, I said, well, you know, it may not mean quite so much to you, but your wife would like to have your own place that she could settle and decorate and make your, the home for you and the children that is uniquely yours. Can you see that? He said, yes, I can see it, but it's not possible. It is not possible? I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir, I am. I said, well, I believe God wants you to buy a home. And he kind of looked at me and laughed. And then his wife said, no, that's not possible. That's not possible. I said, it is possible. I said, I'm going to pray in a moment here. And you're going to leave here. And you're going to go look for a house. And God's going to show you the house. And you're going to be able to pay for the house. And you're going to move into that house. And that's going to be part of the legacy and the foundation of your faith as a couple, that God who supplies and a Father who loves you and a Father who cares about you will do any miracle to prove that He is a loving Father to you and that He will meet you in every other kind of context because He's going to do this big miracle for you. So I said, if you're not going to do it, then say so now. But I said, if you will take this word from the Lord, God will see to it that you have your own place. I'm listening to myself say it. I'm thinking to myself, Rick, you've never said this to anybody before. What are you saying? But I said what I said. I prayed. I thank God for their new home. 3 weeks later, they came with tears of joy and said, Pastor, you won't believe it. You won't believe it. We don't even have the kind of income that anybody would recognize. But God has given us a new home. I could tell you so many stories like this. God loves you so much. And He wants you to act when you hear His voice as though you actually have heard His voice. Because the Bible says He is a rewarder of those that believe Him. Will you believe Him? Will you believe Him? You know, we all want a harvest of miracles. But it's an important reality that if you don't have any seed planting, you don't have a harvest. So I'd kind of like to draw together all the things I've been saying to you about faith as we just kind of look at three phases of seed planting and how really this is a law just like the law of faith. Genesis 8:22 tells us that God has established this law in creation, just as He has in redemption. He says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest. Now, He's talking about the agricultural dimension of our planet. You know, we have to have agriculture in order to eat, unless we were just all meatarians and no vegetables. And so, as long as the earth endures, well, we'd even struggle then because the animals got to eat something. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, day and night will never cease. Never cease. Seed time and harvest. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest. Those two things together. You can't just say, well, let's have seed time or just harvest. They go together. You plant seed so you have a harvest. You plant seed so you have a harvest. If you want to harvest and don't plant seed, forget it. There's no farmer goes out and says, well, you know, I'd sure like a crop of corn to come up here. I'm not planting any seed. I'm not feeling like it. Just don't feel like it. You know, some days I get out of bed and I just don't feel like, you know, opening up the ground, put seed in it, you know, sitting behind that tractor all the time and in the sun, in the rain, in the heat. And, you know, that whole thing of planting seed, that is just a pain. It's a lot of work. And, you know, you get the dust in your nostrils and you just don't feel like it at all. I'm not doing that. But I'd sure like a big bumper harvest of corn. You'd say, you know, you got serious problem. You have an unreasonable expectation. You want to harvest without any seed planting. Many people cry out for a harvest, but have refused, or through ignorance or neglect or dumb, refused to plant a seed. If you're going to have a harvest, you got to plant the seed. You know, part of my upbringing, I was raised on farms, so I understand this cycle, and I understand the work of seed planting. Matthew 9:29. He says, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you. According to your faith will it be done to you. And that's what a farmer does. He takes some seed and he puts it in the ground. He's a man or a woman of faith if he does so. He's a lazy, dumb farmer if he doesn't. He's a lazy, dumb farmer if he doesn't. Pastor, what are you saying? If you and I don't put seed in, well, we don't put seed in the soil of our hearts. We're a lazy, dumb farmer if we expect a harvest. Jesus said, according to your faith will it be done unto you. Well, let's get into this a little bit more. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 and following. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. It's the written word of God, the spoken word of God. It's that God-breathed word that God speaks into your heart. You got to go get it. Yes, but Pastor, I don't feel like sowing seed. And I get up in the morning, I have my coffee, and I'm out the door. I just don't have time for reading my Bible or putting the worship music on or listening. What you're saying is that you just want the soil to produce something without putting any seed in it. The seed in this parable is the Word of God. You got to get the seed in here. So it kind of goes on. It says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. In other words, the word goes into their heart, but the devil comes and steals the seed. I was talking to my son recently. He was telling me he put some grass seed on his lawn, but before it could take root, the birds came in, lovely birds, and they ate the grass seed. So there was no grass going to be coming up on that lawn as long as the birds were eating the seed. And let me tell you, in spiritual terms, and that's what he's talking about here, he's talking about an individual, a person. They may not believe and be saved. If something doesn't get planted in you, sometimes it's because the word gets stolen. Gets stolen by some well-meaning person, like I told you about earlier. It gets stolen by something you hear on television or the internet or wherever. The devil comes and says, no, that's not going to happen. That won't happen. And so the seed that produces faith, which produces the miraculous, is gone. Seed planting is an important process to your lifestyle. If you don't take care with the seed planting process, you won't do well. It says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word, so they may not believe and be saved. And verse says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. Yes, the pastor's message was good. I heard from heaven. But they have no root. They believe for a while, just like Israel did. But in the time of testing, Moses, why did you bring us out here? Why did you bring us out here? What was God looking for? He was looking for them to return to the word that they had originally seen, received, that they were going to go into the promised land. Just like the spies that went out. They received the word. That was the promised land. God took them out. He was going to take them in. But they didn't have any root. They didn't have the kind of relationship with Christ that says what God says to me. That's what the Bible calls, that's why the Bible calls it the precious seed of the word. If there's anything of value in your life, it's the word of the Lord. 92 times in the Old Testament, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came, 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 the word of the Lord came. I want to say to you, when the word of the Lord came to you and you received Christ as your Savior, that was the precious seed of the word being lodged inside of you. That process is to happen to you and I. And this congregation and every other congregation time and time and time and time again. And in every condition of life, we need to hear the word of the Lord. In my crisis moments, I have received the word of the Lord and God has done a miracle. Or I have been without the word of the Lord and I suffered loss. And I'm ashamed to say it. But I want to say to you today how good it is when you say there is something precious in my life. And that's the word of the Lord. That's the precious seed. Because I know if I hear the word of the Lord and it comes in here, it comes into this heart of faith. Comes into this heart of faith. You know, every word is tested. If you don't get the seed, you have nothing to deal with the tests. Trouble comes, and you got nothing to answer it with. But when you have the seed, when you have the word of the Lord, when you have what God has whispered to you in the toughest moments of your life, then you rise. And that's what happens with seed. It rises. There's power in seed. It's a mystery. Scientists say it's a mystery. You take something and you bury it, and it just seems to have the principle of life in it. It goes on and says they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. What happens? They've lost their perception of the value of the seed. You see, this seems more significant than something so small in the ground. Something God spoke to me. Something He whispered to me. Something I found in the night season. It seems like it's so hazy. It's gone away. And what seems to be my reality are the circumstances and the conditions and the bank account and the distress and the angst and the medicine and all those things seem to be my reality. That's why the Bible says we don't look on those things that are seen, but on those things that are unseen. It's what you find in the invisible, unseen realm, what you hear in the invisible realm that makes the manifest difference in your life. It's a different way of living. It's not all logic, sense, science, education. It's the word of the Lord. Read your Bible. It's full of nonsensical things, at least in terms of how the world sees it. So there's this phase of faith seed planting, of getting this into your spirit. It goes on in the next verse. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear it, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Part of being a mature believer is so guarding the precious seed that it does not get destroyed. It brings forth a harvest. Let me tell you, life's most precious possession can be choked by worry. You know, one woman said to me one time, she said, "You know, Pastor, I worry about everything. And then I worry that I worry too much." I said, "Yeah, that's getting complicated." I said, that means there just needs to be a repentance. "Yeah, but," she said, "if I don't worry about it, who will?" "Well," I said, "we could assign somebody else to worry about it, if that would help." "Actually," she said, I said, "worry is a sin. So let's repent of the sin of worry, and let's put something else in its faith, in its place, and that's faith. And then your life will begin to change. You'll have less concerns and more joys." Worry will choke out the precious seed of God's word. Money can think you don't need God when you're really blessed. But the problem is money can only do so much. And I'm not ignorant of what money can accomplish. But let me tell you, all the money in the world will not fix your sick body if medicine says there's no hope. Doesn't matter how many millions you have in the bank account. What matters is the precious seed of God's word. And so that's why it's so important to grow up in Christ and say, okay, you know, we're after a lot of things in life. We're after pleasure. We're after a home. We're after... And a lot of these things of a natural, they're fine. God's given us everything richly to enjoy. That's fine. But the most important pursuit is the pursuit of the seed of God's word. Because you're getting a portion of God in capsular form inside of you that believed and nurtured is going to produce something of God himself to the glory of God. And to change circumstances and people's lives make a huge difference in our planet. So, sowing is a vital part. You've got to take that time to listen. Matthew 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It's hearing the voice of God. You got to take time to hear the voice of God and hear him say something to you. And, you know, sometimes God isn't telling you what you want to hear. He's telling you what he wants you to hear. And what he wants you to hear, that's sufficient. "Yes, but he didn't answer this. He didn't answer that. He didn't answer." That's all right. You will know what you need to know, when you need to know it, if you will bend your ear to him long enough. You know, it's so important that you train your ears to hear the still small voice and refuse to hear the voice of the enemy. And that's part of this sowing discipline. Sowing is work. I know it's work. You know it's work. I like to just skate along and, you know, kind of get by and so on. And, you know, my upbringing, you kind of just endured stuff. But I've discovered if you get a seed, you'll continue divine progress because your faith will produce the miraculous. So sowing is part of this faith seed planting. You got to open your heart. You got to open your lifestyle. "Okay, Lord, I present to you this situation, this circumstance, this. So speak to me, Lord. Speak to me from your word, by the voice of your spirit. Speak to me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm listening to you." "Yeah, but you know, I sometimes wait for the Lord. I don't hear anything." "Oh, well, then quit." How foolish. It says they do not mature. You know, when I was a kid, not too long ago, sometimes my mother would ask me to do something. And if I didn't immediately move to do it, she would say, "Did you hear me?" Now, she knew the answer to that before she asked it. She knew because I was standing there that I'd heard it. She didn't mean, did I audibly take in the sounds and correctly determine the sense of what she was saying. What she meant was, did I hear and decide to respond and take my first step to go and get it done? That's what she was saying. She was wanting me to be mature. In other words, to learn to hear and obey. To grow up! Oftentimes, believers can be long times saved, but still immature because they don't take the discipline of sowing the seed of the Word of God into their hearts. They don't mature. And what happens? Their heart gets buried under worries, riches, or pleasures, or whatever. And then down the road when trouble comes, then they're looking for a pastor. They're looking for a counselor. They're looking for a psychiatrist. They're looking for somebody to fix the trouble they're in. When God says, I put inside of you the ability to fix the trouble you're in. And that's the ability to hear, grow a seed. Sow a seed so you can grow a seed. The second phase of seed planting, of faith seed planting, is growing. Growing. You know, you put a seed in the ground, and this is part of your faith. Sometimes you get an instant answer, you know, you speak some healing to somebody, and boom, they're instantly healed. I've had it on a number of occasions where I spoke healing to somebody, and there was no visible change. And what I've said to them was, go your way. Healing virtue has entered your body. You will be fine. And they left. And sure enough, shortly thereafter, their healing manifested. When they walked away, they had to process what was taking place inside of them. Had they really received a healing virtue impartation? Or was this just words from somebody who cared? When they heard the Lord through His servant, they were growing something inside of them that manifested. One man who came and he'd had a stroke and half of his body was not functioning properly. And it was at the end of a meeting. I was tired. It was dark. We were just in a poorly lit building in Africa. It had been a very long day. And he came right at the end. And he was carrying a three-pronged pole with wheels on the end of it so he could kind of lean on that and push himself forward. And I asked him, what was it he wanted from the Lord? He said, well, I've had a stroke and one side of my body is not functioning. And so I looked at him and I could tell which side it wasn't functioning. I said, well, raise your hand on the side that's not functioning. So he raised it up about waist level. That's as far as he could get it. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to speak and God's going to move in your body. And so I did. I spoke. I commanded healing to go in his body. And I said, now raise your hand. And so he raised it up a little bit further. And he said, oh, wow. He said, that's amazing. I couldn't get it up that high. And so he was really delighted. I said, I'm going to pray one more time. I prayed one more time. He got up a little higher. And he was really glad. As he turned to walk away, I said, listen. I said, tomorrow when you get up, your entire body will be well. You won't need that pole anymore. He said, oh, thank you. It wasn't just words I said to this man. It was the word of the Lord. Not because I'm anybody special. If you'd ask me, well, do you feel full of faith? Do you feel like, you know, you're really the awesome, powerful man of God? I would have said, absolutely not. It's nothing to do with my feelings. I was exhausted. I was ready to go home an hour before. This guy was the last guy, and he had a serious, certainly, he heard the word of the Lord. The next day, he got up and called his pastor, so excited he could hardly talk. He said, "I am totally whole." Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this. Sometimes you plant a seed, and maybe it takes the night. It maybe takes the night for the seed to grow. But while it's in the ground and you can't see it, it's still growing. You know, I've been around a lot of farmers in my day, and I like farmers for a host of reasons. But I've never known one of them who put a seed in the ground and went out the next day and went, "Huh, wonder if that's going to grow. Gosh, you know, that soil doesn't look all that great. Maybe I'll dig it up and plant some more." No, they don't. And you know, maybe that seed doesn't grow up for 3 months. Farmer's not out there digging it up. He knows he planted a seed in the ground. It's going to produce. So what does he do? He's busying himself with repairing the tractor and all the other equipment that he's got and getting ready for the harvest, getting ready for the harvest, getting ready for the harvest, you know, renovating the barn. He's getting ready for the harvest. Are you getting ready for the harvest? You're getting ready for the harvest because you put a seed in the ground and it's growing, it's growing. I want you to say today, it's growing. If you put a seed in the ground, if you've got a seed that's come here, the word of the Lord has spoken to you, you've got a promise, you've got a prophecy, God has given you something, it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. It's growing. It's growing. You know, when the seed is growing, it's called the rest of faith in Hebrews 4. It's dying to the selfish tendency to doubt or to try to help God out. Instead, we work in the invisible place of the heart and our inner conversation about what God has spoken. You say, "Pastor, how do you pass through this growing season, this period of time? How do you remain calm and confident and full of your faith confession? How do you do that?" Well, you know, what does a farmer do? He waters the seed. You know, this is rocket science. You need a PhD to get this. No, you don't. That's why Jesus used such a simple agricultural illustration. The farmer waters the seed. Well, how do you water the seed? Well, you water the seed, which is what refreshes that seed and causes it to begin to blossom and find its way to the surface. You water the seed by rehearsing, remembering, and meditating. You know, you go back to the Word. In my life journey, I've had to go back to the Word of the Lord and say, "Lord, you said, I remember. Thank you, Lord. This is your word. It is yes and amen. I'm not declaring anything but your word. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for the word. It's the precious seed of the word. It's growing. It's working. It'll manifest in time and on time. Thank you, Lord Jesus." The words come out of your mouth, even in your own private devotion, even when you're talking to other people. God has given me a word. You're watering the seed during the growing season. Or you can say, "Well, maybe I missed it. Maybe I misheard. You know, it happens for others. It doesn't happen for me. I should just cash it in." No. You're a faith person. You're going to pass through this growing season. You're going to pass through the growing season. You're going to say, "I'm going to be faithful to the word of the Lord. I'm not going to be some farmer that goes out there and says, I got defective seed. I'm going to dig it up. No, no. I'm going to rehearse it. I'm going to remember it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit bring it alive in freshness and vitality in my relationship with Him." in my most trying moments, I have found I can go one of two places. Listen to me. I can go to the place of panic and despair because of what I can't see with these eyes or what I do see with these eyes, or I can go back to the word of the Lord. You'll do the same. Grow it until the harvest day. Water it by rehearsing, remembering, and meditating. Cultivate your expectation of the supernatural. See yourself with the harvest of that word. Whatever that harvest means, see yourself with that harvest. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 tells us that we are to imitate those who with faith and patience inherit what is promised. So you have to have faith, but you have faith with patience. As I said, some things are instantaneous. Some take short space, medium time, long time. Abraham persevered with faith and patience. The word patience there has the idea of enduring under contradictory or opposing circumstances. And that's how you get some maturity in life, is you got to endure. And you endure by faith, not just gritting your teeth. You pass through the growing season with Jesus. You pass through the growing season with Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, as one translation says, as the completer, the finisher, the perfecter of your faith. He brings it to fruition. He brings it to fruition. Be that kind of believing believer. Lastly, the third phase of faith seed planting is the harvest. It's the full manifestation of the seed word that you have sown into your heart, either a word that's given to you prophetically or spoken to you, or some brother or sister called you on the phone or whatever it is, and they gave to you, and when you heard it, you didn't hear them, you heard God. And that's what made the difference in your spirit man. I like what it says in Hosea 6 and verse 11. It says, "For unto you, Judah, a harvest is appointed." And I want to say to you today, as you're listening to this message, God has appointed for you a day of harvest. He has appointed for you a day of harvest. Don't put it on somebody else. He's appointed for you a day of a harvest. If you will get the seed of God's word and you'll allow it to grow and you'll water it and you will expect that the word of the Lord will come to pass, the harvest is appointed. There will come a day in which you will see with your eyes and you'll rejoice with your heart that the manifestation that you believe from the beginning has taken place. Don't let go of your precious faith. Be a person, as the Bible says they were in Thessalonians, their faith grows more and more. It reaches down into the soil, into of our relationship with Christ. That's what roots are. They're what give foundation, strength, stability to your life. If you've got a plant that doesn't develop roots, it's not stable, it's not secure. There's a harvest that's appointed for you. I want to close this message today. I want to stand in agreement with you today that you are going to hear the word of the Lord. You're going to develop a lifestyle that says, you know, the most important thing I do is I allow the sowing of the word of God into my spirit. I hear him. I meditate in the word. I wait for that still small voice. And when he says it, then I take it and I say, thank you, Lord. That's the promise. And as I've encouraged you to do before, we'll come back to this again, is write it down. This is the word of the Lord. This was the word of the Lord. And then when you face the testing and the trial and the trouble and those things come, you'll say, oh no, that's not a sign that I didn't hear. That's a sign that I did hear. Because the devil is always after to steal from you what is your most important thing. And that's the word of the Lord. Trouble doesn't come because you're a bad guy. Okay, you can bring some on yourself by doing dumb, stupid, sinful things. Any of us can. We do. But trouble, unprecipitated by your sinful behavior, comes simply because you're in this world and because there's a devil who wants to kill, steal, and destroy and mess up your life and mangle you so you don't ever become a testimony, a witness, and become a powerful person that God made you to be in Christ and share the gospel with others. But you spend your life trying to self-survival and, you know, how you can manage your own life. You don't even see the lost or talk to them because you're so consumed with the stuff that you got going. That's not your portion. You're a faith person. Today, God wants you to walk in His Word, to hear His voice, to hold that as so precious and so dear, to nurture it, remember it, rehearse it, declare it, and wait with expectation for the manifestation, and let nothing cancel it. Let us pray. Father, thank you today for the word of the Lord that comes to us all. How you're a faithful Father in the most critical moments of our life. You're so ready to speak to us. May each of us learn to take more time to allow the work of the Holy Spirit bring us that proceeding word that comes out of your mouth and it comes into our spirit man, into our heart, and it's there, it's mixed with faith and becomes the foundation and the basis for a miracle manifestation. Father, thank you for drawing us to you in these days so that our world that is so lonely, so desperate, will have a place to look when they're looking for divine intervention. We praise you today. Lord, the sick bodies are made well because the word of the Lord comes to lodge inside of them. Thank you, Lord, that jobs come to those who are looking because you said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, today that by your stripes, those who are listening today are healed. Even now, the pain is going from their body because they believe the word of the Lord has come to them today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and encourage you to go onto the website and look at the songs that would be available and the notes if you'd like some further instruction. God bless you. We'll see you next time from wherever we're broadcasting in this wide world. God bless you.